long time in American churches, there was an emphasis in a lot of churches on just getting people to come to church. And to get them to come to church, you have to make them Christians. And to make them Christians, they have to be born again. Yes, all of that is good. That's true. You got to share the gospel with them. You got to let them know they're saved by grace. And then you got to have them come to church. And then once they come to church and they're tithing members, well, you're good. That's about where the journey ends. And people started to recognize, hey, guys, that doesn't look anything like the Christianity that's in the scriptures. And so they started to think and write and work in the church toward what we call spiritual formation. And it's all about what Jesus says in Luke chapter 9 when he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross daily, and follow me. Right? It's what Paul says when he says he urges us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice and not be conformed to the pattern of this world. And what being a formational church means is as opposed to being a church of cheap grace or self-made faith. Okay? Now, what I mean by cheap grace is that there's some places, and I don't mean to point fingers at any other churches when I say this, but there's some places where everything is just about, hey, you know what? God loves you, and He forgives your sins, and that's about it, and come to church, and everybody, let's be happy. And that all is true, but that's not where the story ends. If Christ saved us just to leave us where we were, that's not much of a salvation. Instead, what Christ invites us to is a process of working out the transformation that's been worked in us. Right? As Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And so spiritual formation is not about we're forgiven and that's it, that we're done. But it's also not about being a self-made Christian. Okay? We don't believe that Christianity means pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and fixing all of your own sins and it's all about, you know, having all the best habits and all the, you know, if you can get rid of all your sins by working hard. That's not what it's about. What it's about, it's about God's stream of love and grace and truth and putting yourself in the middle of that stream and letting that stream carry you to holiness. But to be in that stream, you got to put your feet in the water. Right? You got to be connected to the vine. Okay? And that's what it's all about. Okay? And so we want to be a formational church that's intentional about the process of becoming like Christ. Right? So that when people come in here, they'll see Jihan, and they'll see Deanna, and they'll see Mike, and they'll see Ken. And you'll be yourselves, but there'll be something about you that is different, that is Jesus. Okay? That's what formational means. Got it? Y'all got good notes? If you don't know what to write, look at the neighbor next to you. You're allowed to copy here. Okay, so that's the first word, formational. Let's all hear it. Formational. Formational. Excellent. Good. The second word is integrated, okay? And by integrated, what we mean is that we embrace both and philosophy as it resonates with Scripture. We believe God is a holistic God with a holistic mission. And therefore, we live in the tension and harmony of what's personal and communal, scriptural and spiritual, evangelistic and justice-promoting, etc. Okay? And this is a little bit hard to explain, but I guess I would put it this way. We want to be integrated as opposed to a divided sectarian church. Right? Now, I want to tell you a little bit about my time in Berkeley. When I was a Berkeley student, it was one of the most eye-opening times of my life. I loved being a student in Berkeley because there's really all kinds of people in Berkeley. Really all kinds of people. And when you walk down just one street, if you take Dwight Way and you walk down Dwight Way for about 8 city blocks, you'll come across so many different kinds of churches. Right? Hang a right on Shattuck. You're going to see all kinds of congregations. Right? And even in this place where so many people, I think, are resistant or reject Christian faith, there's all kinds of churches that spring up, and they're so vibrant. And when I was in college, I went to churches where people were actively involved in human rights work that freed people who were in bondage. And they did it in the name of Christ. And there were people who were absolutely unfettered, unchained in sharing the gospel of Christ. They would go out to parks where homeless people were sleeping. They would go out to campus where college students were at. They would go out to the city, to their workplaces, and tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And that was so beautiful. It was so challenging to walk with them there. And I'd go to churches where people would pray in the Spirit in just kind of all kinds of crazy ways that would make all of you guys probably feel a little bit nervous because, you know, they'd be walking all over the room, their hands up in the air, they'd be waving, they'd be singing, they'd be dancing, they'd be on the floor, they'd be praying their guts out. And then I'd go to another church and people would be so deep in the Scriptures that the Word, just you could just tell that every pore of their being, it just emanated God's Word. And I go to churches that were so much about individuals and their personal relationship with God, and go to churches that were so much about being a community of faith. But you know what was hard about that was that those were all different churches. They were all different churches. Because I'd have to go to the charismatic church if I wanted somebody to talk to me about the Holy Spirit. But if I wanted to really deeply know, you know, what Leviticus is all about, I'd have to go to the Bible church. If I wanted to be involved in good works, I'd have to go to the good works church. And if I wanted to be involved in evangelism, I'd go to the evangelism church. And so from the beginning, what we've strived to be as a congregation, by God's grace and only through the guidance of His Scripture, is to be an integrated church. To be a church that tries to be and do all those things. Now, maybe what's happened is that we don't do any of those things very well at all. But we want to stand as a witness that, you know what, the Church of Jesus Christ is one body, is one church. And so that's what it means to us to be integrated. Right? As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, that there are different kinds of gifts. Yes, there are. And maybe some churches are stronger in one thing and some churches are stronger in another. But we want to be a church that invites and welcomes all of the different ways that that one Spirit works and manifests in our world. Okay? The third word is community. And you, do you like this cool little thing where we bracketed off community? These were Brian's words, but that was my idea. It's pretty cheesy. All right. But what we mean by community is that God speaks to us as a community and not only as individuals. That we are unified. We all share a oneness in Christ. Together we're called to embody the life of the kingdom as a preview of what's to come, of the new age that God is inaugurating. We're called to be welcoming and united as a diverse group of people. We're called to embrace particularly those who are marginalized by other communities, just like Jesus did when he hung out with tax collectors and sinners, even if it is uncomfortable for us. I love how much you guys are like just intently taking notes. It's just great to see. Jesus says in John 17, "My prayer is not for them alone, but I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." And as opposed to a church that is individualistic or consumeristic, where it's just about come and pick what's best for you, we're about being a community. We're about everybody here has a part to play. Everybody is needed. Everybody is essential. Everybody is a part of the body. And if I asked you if you would be willing to part with any part of your body, what part would you be willing to part with? Can I have your left toe? No? Are you okay with parting with your right ear? Would you mind if I took your kidneys? Right? There's something about that metaphor of the body that's so perfect because everything is essential. You're like, no, I would really not like to lose any part of this, please. Right? And I think that's what we are as the body of Christ. Absolutely needing one another. Okay? And so part of being a community is recognizing that needing one another also means that we need each other however we are and wherever we're at. And some of you guys, man, drive me crazy. All right? And some of you guys, I drive you crazy, all right? And sometimes we don't get along, and sometimes we're not the same, and sometimes it's awkward, and sometimes I say things that insult you, and sometimes you do things that snub me. And what it means to live out the faith of Christ is to believe in your heart of hearts that in spite of all those things, I cannot live without you, and you cannot live without me. That we have to walk this walk of faith together. And so that what that requires is forgiveness, and mercy, patience, and honesty, and truth. That's what we have to be as a community. Okay, I'm going to try to move faster. Thank you all. You've been extremely patient and good and attentive. Incarnational. Okay, this is a weird word, but it's all about this, right? And we're celebrating Christmas coming up. That God, God who created the heavens and the earth and who is very much involved in our world, decided to show us in the ultimate way that He knows every one of our struggles. And Christmas, right, the Advent season is all about celebrating that the arrival of that. Jesus may have had zits. Isn't that weird? Jesus probably stubbed his toe at some point. Jesus might have hammered his own fingers as a carpenter, right? Jesus needed a haircut, but probably didn't get one. They probably didn't do haircuts that much, right? The idea that God came, and as Brian loved to quote the message by Eugene Peterson, God came in and moved into our neighborhood. God came in the flesh of our lives. And because he did that, we believe that that's who he calls us to be as a church. We embody the message of Jesus and the kingdom in the flesh of our culture and generation. We want to be shaped by Scripture, but express its message in the language of our context. We are authentically part of our culture, yet we live subversively and counterculturally as the new creations in Christ, right? Jesus says in that same chapter that I quoted before in John chapter 17, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. But my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Okay? In other words, the pattern of Jesus coming to our world is the pattern of us going into the world that we live in. In our workplaces, in our schools, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in the larger culture that we participate in. And y'all participate in culture, I know it. Okay, I see y'all on Facebook. That's culture. You make music. That's culture, right? You write blogs. That's culture. How can we, in the ways that we live, make manifest God, his love, his truth, his mercy? That's what it means to be incarnational. And so we try to do that together as a church, and we also try to do it individually, and teach us how to do it individually. In your workplace, how will you be Christ's ambassador? Okay? So as opposed to the church that is irrelevant, a church that comes on Sunday, and we just all come on Sunday and sing our songs and do our holy acts, and then we go home and live life as if nothing has changed. Or as opposed to the church that's compromised, where we just live like the world without being different, without standing out, without having a distinctive message. We want to be an incarnational church. Okay, last one. Missional. Okay? Missional means that we are a sending church. We send people abroad to missions, but we also send them to their professional careers, okay, and to their life as students. But more centrally, we send people off every week to live out the kingdom in their daily lives. As a church, we believe that we are sent to be here as a witness to our surrounding neighborhood. The kingdom of God is a movement you join, not merely a destination you arrive at. We are called to be the church, whether we are gathered in worship or scattered throughout the week in our daily lives. Right? This is summed up in all kinds of scriptures where again and again, we see that God is a missionary God. He is a God who's on a mission. And again and again, he sends out his people, whether it's Abraham, whether it's Moses, whether it's the prophets, whether it's the Messiah Jesus himself, right? Or as Paul says it, though I am free and belong to no one, 1 Corinthians 9, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. The Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. Those under the law, I become like those under the law, so as to win those under the law, and so on. To the weak, I become the weak. To win the weak, I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. God invites us to an adventure of mission. He is a God who has a purpose, and his salvation plan that works through all history is working in us and through us right now. And so what that means is that we don't want to hold anything back. We want to give our whole lives and our whole church for the purpose of letting the whole world know about his gospel. Amen? Isn't this pretty cool? This is what we're about thing. Good job, Brian. Thanks. all right. So do we really do this? Is this really our church? I want to ask you that question. I want you to think on that a little bit. These are some of the things that we do all the time on Sunday. We got this thing, Sunday worship, right? We have our community groups, we have Young Disciples, we got Children's Sunday School. Some of you guys participate in the Mustard Seed Prayer Network. We also have our Compassion Network activities, like Patricia helped us to organize our Thanksgiving Hearty Harvest activity last week. But there's also all these distinctive things that we do as a church. We participate in the Advent Conspiracy that I talked about earlier. Every Good Friday, we do a Stations of the Cross kind of activity. We've done neighborhood block parties. We celebrate All Saints Day. At our retreats, force people to write poetry, even if they're not poets, and force them to get up and share their poetry. And this may seem insignificant to you, but every Sunday we have lunch together, right? We go out somewhere and we alternate between Popeye's chicken and Good Neighbor, you know, and fancy Vietnamese restaurant and Los Gallos and Chipotle, all kinds of food for all kinds of people. It's an intentional practice. All right, what I'd like you to do is this. I'd like you to get together, and this is what, I always make you guys get together with groups, and it's just the teacher in me, but I'd like you guys to find some people who may be a little different from you. So you four guys are all around the same age. That's cool. So maybe two of you and two of you can join two older folks somewhere else, okay? And exactly. And just get together in a mixed age group. And what I want you to do is this. On this table, I'd like you to talk together, and you can share ideas and, try to be really welcoming of each other's thoughts. And I want you to think about these five aspects of who we are, these five aspects of our ministry philosophy, and how do we do it? Okay? Now, there's tons of examples. It's a little complicated how this actually works, but just as an example for formational, what you might say is that we live this out partly through Paul and other people on Sundays, Pastor Lai and Steve Korsh, preaching. Okay? And where it looks like this is a terrible, that's really bad prompt, sorry. What I'd like you to do is write down how. Okay? When people come and preach about the kingdom of God and about the scriptures, then we learn how to walk and how to walk in Christ. Does that make sense? Does this table make sense? Just nod to humor me so I feel a little better about myself. All right, if you're not sure, ask people around you, but what you can write is, right here you might write something like Sunday worship, and then right here you might say how, okay? This list on the bottom here has a list of things that you could put in the second column there. Yeah? And then think about, in that last column, how we do that. Okay? All right, I give myself a C- on those directions. But I think you guys are smart people and can figure it out. Would you turn around, smile at the good-looking person next to you, and form a group, okay? Maybe four people, five people, and work on this for a couple minutes, all right? Wow, you filled it out already. You get a gold star. Good job. So like these can go here, you know what I'm saying? And then these are like how? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, you can match it. You can go to these and then here. They may not perfectly match, but you know. Yeah, you could have multiple examples and different ones. Okay. Any questions? Does this make sense? Okay, cool. All right. Huh? Good. So this column, you can write this stuff. And this column, you explain how. Yeah? Yeah. Does this make sense to you? Yeah. Yeah, cool. And, you know, you can pick from these to put here, and then you can explain how there. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right, just about 30 more seconds, so you can get done what you got done, and if you're not finished with the whole thing, don't worry. You will not receive a grade. You will all get an A just for participating and for looking fabulous. You guys can gradually move your seats back and say thank you to your group and smile at them. And it was fun talking to you. It was fun talking to you too. I like you. Thanks for your good ideas. And return. Hey, did that kind of help you in terms of understanding these things, to have to think through it and apply things? No? Yes? Did that kind of help you guys to understand the five things, to have to try to apply them? And not really. Sort of. Okay, all right. Well, hopefully, as you guys are continuing to experience being part of our congregation, these things will make more and more sense to you. This is kind of what we've been about as we've been just kind of trying to be faithful to how God has called us as a church and as a ministry. What I'd like you to do with the last few minutes is to share with you about some of the ways that, as a shepherd team, when we got together to think and pray, we imagined the next 10 years. But more importantly, I just want to say this to you as a spark and a fuel for you guys to think about what your dreams and prayers are for the next 10 years of our church. And so, as we got together in our summit, we talked about what we hope to be 10 years from now. Our transition coach, Steve, kind of led us through thinking about, in 10 years, what kind of a church do you hope that this is? What do you hope that we see? And these are kind of some that were in the area of formational, that we would hope to be a Bible-centered and Spirit-filled church, that we're firm in the Scripture, but that we're broad-tented, meaning that we're not necessarily, you have to be this kind of Christian, but really inviting all kinds of believers, who believe in the gospel, believe in the Scriptures among us. We hope to be an 80-20 church. Most churches are 20-80 churches. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Instead, we hope that we'll continue to be the kind of church where really 80% of the people do 20% of the work. 80% of the people do everything, and 20% don't do anything. I don't know. Anyway. we hope that for parents, I love this one. This is Douglas. Props to Douglas for this one. We hope that for parents, which I will be soon, it's a safe place to send your kids. And for kids, it's a wild place to push your faith. A place where as parents, you know you want to send your kids to our children's ministry and our youth group. But as kids, it's not about a tame and flat faith. It's about a vibrant life with God. Okay. Small groups, community groups, where there's training and carrying out the DNA of our community. This is about community. We hope that 10 years from now, people will continue to remark of our church being an accepting and welcoming place. In some senses, a church of last resort, a place where people are shown the gospel and demonstrate the gospel demonstrated to them, God's mercy demonstrated to them, a genuine place, a grace-filled community of brokenness, where we're not having drama because of divisions, and that we have a mutually uplifting relationship with our Mandarin and Cantonese congregation, that we're diverse enough that no one really feels weird, because really we're all weird, and that we can continue to be cross-generational. 10 years from now, we would continue to be a missional church, a sending church, a church that has a broad influence on our neighborhood, a church that's relevant, that has integrated Jesus Christ and His gospel into our local community. And what we mean by 150 or 350 strong is, if you think about it, 10 years, 150, growing to 150 people is not that ambitious. There's a church just down the street, actually, that started about 6 months ago that has 350 people now. Okay? That's awesome. Praise God for that. All right? But we feel like maybe our church is not necessarily that church. Instead, that maybe we're 150 strong. And the reason we have 350 in parentheses is that hopefully we pray that there's 150 of us here learning, trying to carry out the gospel in our community, but that just like Mel is in LA and Deanna is in New York, that there's 350 people who would call this church a place where they have been influenced and grown and been able to kind of carry out and been sent out to do what they've learned here in the world. We pray for a more visible location with a youth group, with a youth room. That'd be really cool. And then like a tutor, so that the youth can write all the inappropriate stuff on the walls, you know. and they have a tutoring center, maybe, integrated with community. These are just some of the things that we dreamed of. And what I want you to do in a minute is in the space here that says the next 10 years, I want you to dream and pray with us. But not yet. What do you hope that this church will be, this congregation specifically, but our whole church will be in the next 10 years? And what I want to do is turn those things into prayers, and really lift those up as prayers to Him. And that's what we'll do at the end. But before we go into that, I just want to share one more thing with you. Brian moved on in August. Yeah, August 15th. That was 3 months ago. He and I started to pray about the possibility of him moving on about almost a year ago. It started when all of this transpired and it just became clear that God was leading him to move on. I knew in my heart the things that were true that we've said the whole time, that this is God's leading, that we have always been a sending church and a missional church, and it's all about, you know, people coming here and then sending people out into wherever you go in the world with the gospel and hopefully grown and changed. And so that's what we've said. But that doesn't mean that there hasn't been a part of me and of me and Elaine that was heartbroken. And that's actually been part of this thing the whole time. From the very first Sunday that actually it was a Friday night that I came to Six Home of Christ, and we had a huge youth activity. And out of that youth activity where there were probably about 20 kids, Denise and Alice are the only ones still here. And I don't know what happened to those 20 kids. And some of the kids in our Young Disciples ministry or youth fellowship have gone on to college, and other people have moved on for other reasons, and some people aren't here right now for whatever reason. Really, we haven't, despite really having had, I'd say, 150, 200 people pass through our doors, we've had pretty much a congregation of this size the whole time. And excuse me. Sorry. And I consider it an honor and a blessing to be part of this church and to be part of God's work in this church. Excuse me, guys. But that doesn't mean that it's ever been easy. And I think our only assurance is the promises that God has given to us. I need you guys to pray, because in a few months, Elaine and I, or a month and a half, Elaine and I are having a daughter. And it's really exciting, and praise God for that. And it's been a long time that we've prayed and hoped. And a lot of you guys are in the same place. It's really exciting that all of us are going to be having babies together. this morning I typed out a list of things that we need to make Sunday worship happen. And it's filling out all the places that we still need someone, because I don't know if... if I'm not here, if anybody knows how to unlock that door so that people can get in here. and more of you have been stepping up to lead and to welcome people. And I was so moved this morning when Connie was here and Will and helping us to set up. And this church has been riding on hopes and prayers. And soon, we can't do it anymore. And we've sent out our pastor, and we have another one coming, if it's God's will. But I can't tell you guys how many nights. It's been one in the morning, and we've been preparing for Sunday worship. And all that we have is our prayers that that what God has given to us as a dream would continue to be fulfilled. And my plea to you is that you join us in those one in the morning prayers for what this church is. My plea is that you guys would consider this church your family and join us in hoping and struggling and praying and sometimes coming early to get frustrated, because there's so much that needs to be done in making God's kingdom dream fulfilled here. I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to be this emotional. Because again and again and again, Sunday after Sunday, and I've seen it this morning in the sunshine that was there when we stepped outside to pray for this morning's worship, and in all of you guys walking in the doors, and the ways that just now even you were talking to each other and thinking about our church, that God has answered those one in the morning prayers again and again and again to make our community all that He has made it to the praise of His glory. So I'm going to ask you guys to mass worship team to come up and start playing a little bit. I'm going to ask you guys to take a couple minutes to to write about what you hope our church will be in the next 10 years. And and then as the worship team plays and leads us in prayer, for you to pray for those hopes to be fulfilled. Okay?